I grew up, at least initially, in a poor working class family not far from Glasgow. I attended both Catholic primary and secondary school and grew up understanding myself to be a Catholic. As many folks will already know, being brought up as or identifying as Catholic in Scotland can often be to do with a cultural identity rather than a real reflection of one's own faith or belief. So although I grew up attending Mass and receiving the sacraments of baptism, confession, First Communion and confirmation, in reality I nor any of my family had any real faith, knowledge or relationship with God. I left home when I was 18 and spent some time living abroad. I didn't do well at school, and on my return to Scotland, I attended college to try and get some hires. Having always looked up to Atticus Finch, the solicitor character in To Kill a Mockingbird, I ultimately applied to university to study law, with, to be honest, no real expectation of being accepted. As it stood, however, due to my age, I was classified as a mature student, and following a mature student interview, I was accepted, and in 2000 gained my law degree. I didn't find my time at university and being a young adult easy. My family life growing up had been far from ideal, and in my adult life, I suffered regularly from periods of poor mental health and estrangement from my family. All in all, I found daily life tough, and I often did not help myself by engaging in damaging behaviours. After getting my law degree in 2000, I did not follow up going into the profession for mainly mental health reasons. A while after finishing my degree, I got my first proper job working at Glasgow University. I loved the job, but I was very isolated at the time and eventually left due to poor mental health. Not long after this, I very wisely got a large loan from the bank and went off travelling around the world with it. This trip was far from positive for me, and I eventually came back to Scotland more ill than I had been when I left, and thousands of pounds in debt. Not long after this, I started working at Scottish Refugee Council and met a colleague, Heather, who openly admitted to being a Christian. I'd never heard anyone say this before. Heather invited me to attend an Alpha course, and although initially I was not inclined to attend, when I found out I would get my dinner every week, I decided to go along. I wasn't a Christian at the end of the Alpha course, but off the back of the Alpha course, a post-Alpha pub discussion group started, and I attended this religiously. A while after this, during Easter 2006, I finally prayed to God to become his child. There was no lightning bolt or supernatural experience, just a whole new perspective on pretty much everything and relief that God was real, that he had come to earth to save everyone, and that included me. My new perspective was the outworking of receiving the Spirit after committing myself to Jesus. My new perspective changed my view of the world and my role in it. I saw people differently. Jesus made me gentler. I stopped engaging in damaging behaviour. How I related to people changed. How I thought changed. Everything in my life became filtered through the gospel message and the love that Jesus, in his death, had poured out for me. Through the grace that I received when I confessed Christ as my King, grace began to grow in my heart and change who I was, and I desperately needed this. Through Jesus' death, I had hope, hope in life and in the life yet to come. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." A couple of years after becoming a Christian, the thought of becoming a solicitor started to come into my mind again. But for multiple reasons, I didn't believe I would be able to do it. And anyway, so much time had passed since I had finished my degree, 8 years by that point, I wasn't sure it was academically possible. My reservations notwithstanding, I actually felt called by God to become a solicitor. So I applied to go back and do my legal diploma, the final prerequisite before taking up a legal traineeship and becoming qualified. And even though I should not have been accepted onto the diploma, I studied 8 years ago, my grades weren't good, and there were always more applicants than there were places, I was accepted. I was working full-time at that point, though, and I couldn't actually afford not to work, never mind the thousands of pounds needed to fund the diploma and the living costs. I really wasn't sure how it was all going to work, but as if by some miracle, God poured great favour for me into my workplace, and they bent over backwards to let me work part-time, whatever hours suited my timetable, so I could at least part-fund myself. I can't actually even remember what the reason was now, but I ended up getting some sort of refund of overpayment towards the start of my course that paid the first instalment of my course fees. At the end of the diploma, I finished well, near the top of my class, and unbelievably, I was not one penny in debt from the course. This was almost humanly impossible given my circumstances, and today I've never been able to understand quite how this happened. On top of that, I did my diploma in 2008, the year of the financial crash. Others on the diploma were having their traineeship offers cancelled or postponed for a couple of years. I, on the other hand, secured and started my traineeship not long after I completed my diploma. And to top it all off, I did my traineeship alongside someone else I already knew who was a practicing Christian, an amazingly faithful and humble Christian at that. But God's grace didn't end there. During my traineeship, I ran into problems in the practice I worked in. Something in me just didn't feel right about the practice. So about 6 months before I was due to finish my traineeship and become a fully qualified solicitor, I applied for a qualified solicitor post in a different firm. Moving during your traineeship is quite unusual, and applying for a qualified solicitor post when you're not a qualified solicitor is also quite unusual. However, based on what I've said about God's influence in me becoming a solicitor up until this point, I'm sure you already know that I got the post. But what happened next really took me by surprise. Less than a week after starting my new post, I heard from some old colleagues. They had turned up at the office one Tuesday or Wednesday morning to find the door locked. The firm had gone into administration. My ex-colleagues were allowed just 5 minutes to collect their personal belongings and no longer had a job. And for any wondering about the Christian colleague I was doing my traineeship with, she was slightly ahead of me in her traineeship and so had already finished and moved to a new firm shortly before all this happened. So why have I decided to get baptised 17 years after becoming a Christian? Well, there was no mention of infant baptism in the Bible, so even though I was baptised as a baby and accepted Jesus as my Lord and Saviour many years later, I never actually made my own public profession of faith, of being a child of God, and I want to do that. Jesus was baptised. Matthew 3:16 says, "As soon as Jesus was baptised, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him." Jesus tells us to get baptized. In John 3:5, Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit." Many believers are baptized in the Bible. In Acts 8:12, it says, "But when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." And Acts 2:41 said, "Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day." The CCC verse of the year 2023 from John 15:5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." This has always been a very significant verse to me, so it somehow seems fitting that I'm being baptized this year. The remain in me part of John 5:15 has always struck me as being an active concept rather than just passive. I want to take the active step of reaffirming my faith in the Lord through baptism, and I pray that in doing so the Lord will bless and strengthen me, draw me closer to him, and hold me upright as I continue to walk through this life with him. I also pray that anyone who hears this testimony may be encouraged in their own walk with God and see his great love and mercy through it. In preparing my testimony, it was suggested that I say what Jesus means to me now and how he helps me. I find this difficult to put into words, so I've instead opted to read out the lyrics of a song which I hold dear to try and explain. The song is by the New Scottish Hymns Band and is called God of Refuge, and it's based on Psalm 16. God of refuge, be my saviour, God of everlasting good. You alone have satisfied me more than water, more than food, more than any tempting promise man-made gods cannot fulfil. Weak and frail, they rust and perish, while our God sustains us still. All your saints reveal your glory, they inspire my heart's delight, bringing forth their testimony, shining in their Saviour's light. See the sorrows yet increasing of the idols, helpless slaves. God alone deserves unceasing praises, he alone can save. He shall choose my heart's direction, granting wisdom through the night, giving strength, imparting blessing, God shall guide me in the right. This is why my heart rejoices, gladness fills my every breath. Evermore his love shall lead me, I shall not be lost to death.
Too well done. you just be praying now as we get ready to be baptized? Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
And do you turn from sin, renounce evil, and intend to follow Christ?
I do.
And will you live within the fellowship of the Church, and will you serve Jesus Christ in the world?
I will.
Nicola, upon profession of your faith, we baptise you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Nicola, I just want to read a verse for you now. And given that you're a lawyer, I think that you're quite good with words. But sometimes, when we speak for God, you give very good words tonight, Nicola. God is pleased with your testimony. This scripture tells us in Romans 8, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And I want to pray, thanking God for your testimony, thanking God for his grace poured out upon you, and for his Spirit that's in you, the Holy Spirit. And I want to pray for the filling of your Holy Spirit. And I pray for the gift of intercession and prayer and praise, that you would give to Nicola that enabling in the Spirit to praise you, to worship you, to pray to you, and to pray to others for you, and to speak for you. Holy Spirit, you're the one who gives gifts, and I pray that you would give enabling in the area of prayer, and enabling, even without words, Lord, when we run out of words, to have a deep communion with you, and to draw strength from you every day. As the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I know what it is to be in plenty, I know what it is to be in want, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In Jesus' name, amen.